Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope, featuring our pastor, Rick Womack.
But one of my concerns is that we are so wrapped up in political and we're not focused on God. Let your kingdom be established in my life, and let your kingdom be established in my home. And God, let your kingdom be established in my church. And God, let your kingdom be established in our community. And God, thy kingdom, I want your kingdom to come and push all of hell out of the way. Called the Holy Spirit, and I've said this more than once, I'll make sure I say it again for your hearing today. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. He is a person. He is a part of our triune God. Even using the word part is insufficient, because he's not just a part. He's not like a God that can be sliced into three pieces or a pie or something like that. Nature of God is that he is a triune God, and God is known as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Today is, in the Western Church, a day where we recognize Pentecost Sunday. In the Messianic Jewish Church, it's not necessarily today, but we're going to keep track with what's going on in the Western Church. It's not always, we're not always accurate on these dates. We don't know that we got them all nailed, but I don't really want to focus so much on that as I want to focus on the person and the benefit of the Holy Spirit. And that's really what I'm trying to do these next 4 weeks, or these next 2 weeks as we go forward. Will you stand with me? We're going to read Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 together. And then I will preach from here and we'll be done. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth, or the end of the earth. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. May we just receive from your word all that you have for us today. And everyone said, amen. So a little bit of backdrop here. Luke is giving us an unraveling, if you will, or an unfolding of what has happened in verses 1 through 5. In verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to walk you through that a little bit, it says that Jesus began to do and to teach, and he gave commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. It also says in verses 1 through 5 that he appeared and he offered proof of his resurrection. And he spoke to the apostles about a very important topic, one that I've spent a lot of time talking about and really focused on, and I'm going to spend some time today. He spoke to the apostles about the kingdom. He spoke to the apostles about the kingdom. In verse 4 it says, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then on the screen there are three words that I want us to focus on today, and my message is going to be short. So I want us to focus on, if you don't have this passage already circled or underlined in your Bible, this is probably a good time to do that, because it is fundamental to who we are as a Pentecostal church. Penta with an E at the after the T, not, never mind. Pentecostal church. He said, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? Everybody say kingdom. Kingdom, kingdom is one of those words I want to talk about. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, everybody say Holy Spirit, has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, everybody say witnesses. So we have kingdom, spirit, and witnesses. I want to tie those three words together for you today. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and to the uttermost or to the ends of the earth. He says the first word is kingdom, I'm saying the first word I want us to look at is kingdom. They ask him the question, Lord, will you at this time restore? Jesus has spent 40 days with the apostles and with these disciples, helping them to understand. And it even says in verses 1 through 5 that he offered proof. Proof of what? His resurrection. And he also talked to them about the kingdom. There is, in some of my reading as a pastor, some of the blogs and the articles that I read online and in magazines, there's some discussion right now about the gospel of salvation versus the gospel of kingdom. I'm not going to bore you with that because I get bored with it. And some of you are already bored. But I'll just help you to see that we've spent a lot of our time talking about the gospel of salvation and we haven't really talked about the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom includes salvation, but it goes beyond salvation. So this is a natural question because Jesus had spent this time proving to them he's resurrected, proving to them who he was. He spent this time with him talking to them and unpacking these truths of the kingdom. And so obviously it's a natural question because you know what they are like? They're like you and me. They want to know, God, will you at this time set up your kingdom? If we could just get the right candidate, Jesus, we believe you are the one to run on our party ticket. Will you at this time, will you come and will you establish the kingdom? Oh, this is going to be fun. He had appeared to them for 40 days. He talked through these things with them. The cross was behind him. He presented himself alive, it says in verse 3. Why does Luke include that? Because it was important for us to understand that what he says, he can back it up. Because he is indeed alive. And then speaking about the kingdom, in Luke chapter 4, Luke wrote his purposes about how his purpose was to preach the good news of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 9, he talked about how he spoke of the kingdom and he cured those who needed healing. So it's a natural question for these disciples at this point to say, are you at this time going to set up the dominion of God, kingdom? I was telling someone this week, actually in a text conversation, when I pray, thy kingdom come, okay? When I pray, boy, you're a good person. Come up here. I can pick on you. When I pray, thy kingdom come. I need you to be flexible. I'm not going to hurt you. And I need you not to hurt me back, okay? All right. When I pray, thy kingdom come, this is what I expect. I don't pray that with empty words. That's not just, oh, what Jesus said, that sounded really good. I'm going to use that one in my prayer life. When I pray, thy kingdom come, you see, I see darkness. You're just going to be darkness for a minute. And when I see darkness and I pray thy kingdom come, I'm praying darkness is moved and the kingdom comes in. Thank you, sir. Now, why did I do that? Because I want you to see what we need to have for expectation. And when we pray, God, your kingdom come, that means all of the darkness, all of the hell, all the bad stuff and everything else that ain't God gets out of the way so that God can come and set up on his throne and say, I got this. I'm ruling and reigning right here. And so when we pray, thy kingdom come, we better know what we're praying and we better get ready because sometimes it may not be our darkness he gets into. It may be some of our preference that he gets into. Uh-oh. I'll just get a drink of water on that one. It may be our preference he gets into. The problem is the disciples were thinking in terms of political power. Lord, will you at this time come and establish your kingdom? But the nature of God's kingdom is not political. The nature of God's kingdom is spiritual. And when God comes and establishes his kingdom, all of the political and all of the other stuff falls to the wayside, and what he rules and that the way in which he rules and reigns takes priority. Jesus preached the kingdom. We are supposed to expect and preach the kingdom likewise. And one of my concerns, one of my deep concerns, I'm going to be honest with you, I might make some people mad this morning, but one of my concerns is that we are so wrapped up in political and we're not focused on God. Let your kingdom be established in my life, and let your kingdom be established in my home, and God, let your kingdom be established in my church, and God, let your kingdom be established in our community, and God, thy kingdom, I want your kingdom to come and push all of hell out of the way. So that all of hell gets out of the way. And God comes and establishes himself and says, I have got this. I am ruling and I am reigning right here. In verse 7, you see it on the screen. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Stop worrying about it. Jesus rejects the speculation that they have. We've had folks chasing dates ever since he left. Folks are still chasing dates. I don't know. I can't get consumed with that. And I know that some of you in this audience, in this congregation today, I know that's important to you. I'm not minimizing it. But I'm going to tell you, for me, and that's just me, I just want to be faithful every day. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed. That word means assigned. It's the same word that Jesus used when he talks about the gospel, or the New Testament talks about the people of the body of Christ being placed in their prospective role. It's the same word. It means to lay in place. Jesus said the Father has laid those things out by his own authority. They're appointed by him. They're set in place by him. They are assigned by him. God has it all laid out. And he's trying to help them, and I want to help us this morning. Can we get beyond the place where we're chasing dates, and can we say, God, I just want to go to verse 8, because if I'm living in verse 8, everything else takes place in his time and in his way, and there will be fruit in my life. What is verse 8? It's the power. It's the power of God to a surrendered vessel. A vessel who is willing to say, God, I want you to use me, and I surrender to you. It's a touchy subject. Jesus took apart the political component of this. And I hope I am helping you today. Because what I see in the body of Christ is a grave concern for me. I see us, number one, getting so wrapped up in politics. I know I'm going to get an email or a conversation. I didn't say you shouldn't be involved. But I can tell you this. As servants of the Most High God, we want to see the kingdom come through our life. A life surrendered that the Holy Spirit will operate through us. We can't fix this world by putting the right person in the presidential office. We will fall short. You know why? Because every candidate out there that I can tell that's left has fallen short. I can just see it. I can see the disciples. It's beginning to register. This is the Messiah. This is the one. This is the one that we spent so much time with. I see the scars in his hands. I saw him heal others. Jesus. This is Jesus. Jesus, I need you to do one more thing for me so I can truly believe. I need you to come and set up your kingdom. The challenge is sometimes we're just like that. It's like, Jesus, come on, do another trick for us. Do another one. Do another one. Jesus, we need to know the time. We need to know the season. Is this it? Is this the one? No. The season and the time has been laid out by God the Father by His own authority. Because His authority overarches every other authority, it's His authority that I'm going to choose to say yes to. Everything else falls short, folks. Everything. So, that's my concern. My concern is that we've become too wrapped up in the politics of serving Jesus. My concern is that we're too wrapped up in the timing of serving Jesus. And maybe your mind is much more advanced and you're tracking this thing out. I don't know. I sincerely mean that. But when I look at this passage, number one, I see myself. I don't separate myself out from it either. Yes, I filled my bathtub on Y2K. And I bought extra batteries and cans of food. And some of you don't know what I'm talking about, and that's okay. Because I see myself in that. But what I really want to see is I want to see myself in verse 8, not verses 6 and 7. Kingdom that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit. Kingdom, Spirit, and witness. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Do we know that Jesus walked his life empowered by the Holy Spirit? You see, when Jesus was led into the wilderness, it was the Holy Spirit that took him there. We don't like the wilderness, Roger. But sometimes he takes us there. I was teaching the youth this morning. Sometimes he takes us there because he's trying to develop holy character in us. And the only way character is tested is through testing. The only way character is developed is through testing. Jesus is the prototype for us of the Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered life. The book of Acts is the story of the disciples receiving what Jesus received in order to do what Jesus did. That's what it is. It's an outflow of everything God the Father put into his life. And he walked on this face of the earth. And Luke, thank God for Luke, the historian, he writes this second volume, or his second writing. And in his writing, he's helping us to see that everything that God did through Jesus, he wants to do through you and I. J.I. Packer, he's an author. He has this quote. He says, our expectations about seeing the power of God transform lives are not as high as they should be. There are works of power and there are words of power. The works of power, we saw them. We see them in Acts. Signs and wonders. Signs confirming God's dominion. God stepping into a life that needs a miracle. God stepping into a situation where there can't seem to be any other way out. And then there are words of power. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, with great power the apostles continued to testify. This morning, I don't think we have a piano player here. We don't, because she's in the kitchen. This morning, I want us to see something. I want us to see that our expectations are too low. We should expect to see the supernatural in our everyday life. And too often we don't. Too often we don't live naturally supernatural. We should expect to be powerful and fruitful in ministry. What is ministry? Serving. We should expect that. We should expect to see, to be used by God to meet the needs of others. We should expect to see lives changed, lives discipled, lives multiplied. We should expect to live the life of an overcomer. But I have to say, like J.I. Packer, I'm concerned that we don't have enough expectation. Will you stand with me? Wayne, would you do me a favor? Would you run next door and tell them I'm about to wrap up? Because they're thinking they got 20 more minutes. I did that last to them, and it made them really mad. Not really, but yeah. I've got another point to go. But I'm just going to be honest with you, and I'm going to talk for a minute. Can I do that? I know you're standing, and I won't try to keep you too long, but I want you just to be dialed into what I'm saying for the next 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. I absolutely know there's not a program, there's not a media, there's not a tool, there's none of that stuff that can change a person's life. The one thing that changes a person's life, you know what it is? A lot of you are going to say God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. I'm actually going to push it a little further down the road. The one thing that will change a person's life is a decision. It's a decision for God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I stand here and I'm asking you, Mountain Gap Church, to join me in this decision. I don't know how many folks came up here to pray earlier. I don't know. I don't know that I've cried and snotted so much on this altar as I did over there in probably a long time. But I'm asking you this morning, I don't want this to be a one-time thing. I just don't want it to be one time. I want to see people who are broken, their lives are just messed up. What do you mean they're messed up? I understand messed up because I was chasing. And some of you in this room, you guys were chasing too. And you were looking for the answer. And you know what? There's a world around us that's looking for an answer. I don't want to just stand here and pretend like I got it and not give it away. I do have the answer. But I don't want to not give it away. We should have an expectation that we'll be fruitful. We should have an expectation that we will serve. We should have an expectation that we will meet the needs of others. We should have an expectation that we will see the signs and wonders. We should have an expectation that the dominion and the lordship of Christ, the kingdom of God, will come and be established in your community and in your home. If you don't have that expectation, God won't do anything. But if we will have that expectation, and if we will have that hunger, I know I was slow in praying that earlier because I just want to be purposeful in my words. If we will have a hunger and a thirst for God that says, God, I don't care what cost it takes. I don't care. It's not about me anymore. It's just not about me. And it can't be about you. I look at this guy over here and he's hanging out with 1,000 children every day in triple digit eat. And I realized just how selfish I am. Thank you, Roger, for what you do. I know he doesn't like it because he's giving me a look because I see it from every missionary. Don't talk about me like that. I'm just doing what God wants me to do. I know it, brother. And I know that humility is beautiful. And he wouldn't have it any other way. But I look at his life and I look at some of these other folks and I'm like, I fall so short. I heard a speaker yesterday talk about, he didn't use the name, although I think I knew who he was. He said a couple years ago he was having a dinner with a pastor in our denomination. He pastors probably what was the first mega church. Some of you IPH people, you know who I'm talking about. I think I know who he was talking about. Said, you know, he was kind of the first person that took a church over 2,000. Okay. If it's who I think it is, great man of God. He said Bishop McGee was sitting with him at dinner recently. He said, you know what? He leaned over to me and he realized, he spoke to me and he said, I'm going to be honest with you, Tommy. Sometimes I just don't have it all together and I just realize I am so inadequate. And he said, I realized, oh my goodness, if this man feels inadequate, I'm in really bad shape. Church, I love you, but I'm inadequate, and so are you. And this has been one of the most honest sermons that maybe I've, not honest as in the others were alive, I mean just my heart, putting my heart out there is what I mean when I say that. I realize this, and I'm going to pray in just a moment. I realize this more and more, but especially this morning I realize I can't do this on my own. If I'm not living in verse 8, everything else is a mistake. I want to help you. And so it is with you. Because you don't get power until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You don't get power until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You don't get to witness or testify of Jesus until you know what he's done for your life. To the best of my ability, no lawyer will put somebody up on the stand to testify unless they have an account regarding what happened or the person, either a person or an incident. In other words, a lawyer will put somebody up on the stand because they know something about the person and they know something about the incident. So you and I don't get to testify until that power has come upon us. And we are witnesses. In Jerusalem, that means our community. In Judea, that means the people that you're comfortable with. And then in Samaria, that's where we begin to cross social boundaries. Because people don't always look like us. And then to the ends of the earth like this gentleman does. I'm going to pray. I'm going to also bless the food. I'm going to invite you to join us. Please join us. We got a lot of potatoes. And in just a moment, when I pray, I believe God's going to bless them. So all those starches, everything bad, we're just going to pray they'll be gone. Either that or you're going to have to go walk this afternoon. Okay? Thank you, Mountain Gap. Honestly, thank you for the privilege to serve you as pastor. I need you, but I need him more. I need his spirit more. And you need me, but you need his spirit more. Father, thank you for the promise of the Father that Luke writes about, that we will receive the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I know that when the Holy Spirit comes, the kingdom comes, the power comes. Power to be your witnesses, to be your servants, to every place that you call us, Lord. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that in every person, Lord, I pray there would be a hunger and a thirst for your Spirit such as never experienced before. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Use us to be your witnesses, to testify of what we know and what we've seen in every place that we go. In Jesus' name, and Lord, thank you for the opportunity to join together for a time of fellowship in the Family Life Center. Lord, use this time. Let it be rich. Father, thank you for the Nicaragua team. Lord, continue to meet every need. Thank you, Lord, for the way you've brought provision all along the way. And Lord, we trust you for the continued provision. Lord, we thank you for Roger. I just want a couple guys to come over here and lay hands on Roger. Boyd, will you do that? And Steve, David, come on up and y'all lay hands on Roger. Let's just pray for him. Father, thank you for Roger. Lord, we just pray that you will close this gap. He's at 80%. Lord, I'm asking you to put him at 100%, Lord, and do it so quickly. God, we pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God to be very powerful and real in Ginger's life and all that's going on. Lord, give her the strength that she needs and give Roger and Ginger the strength they need, Lord, to go back and to bless. And Lord, I just pray that other people, Lord, I know there were students from Emmanuel and Southwestern there. Lord, I pray that some of those will rise up and they will be the ones to continue with the torch when this man comes home, whenever that is, Lord. But Lord, I ask you to put people that will be able to carry the torch further, and that, Lord, you would prepare them now. Thank you, Lord, for closing that gap financially. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this man's life and through this man. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please join us afterwards.
Joining us today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.